A local charity has been going for about 24, 25 years, and is run by our CEO, Paul Bowser, who lives in Aberdeenshire, which I'm pretty certain most of you might be aware of who he is. Paul and Anne started the charity with the aim, which continues to be our aim, to give a hope and a future. And that's a really broad thing to have as a basis, but that is what we aim to do through all of the projects that we run. We own two sites, well, rent. One is at the top of this lane, so I drive past here every day on my way to work. It's our barn called Lend the Road. It's freezing, but it's beautiful. And so therefore we have to get the balance. I was saying to Jenny, we started wearing winter wear when we came back in September after the summer break. It never seems to quite hit warm when you're inside the barn, but definitely hits cold. And then we also have the old Salvation Army Hall in Biddeford, which is our other venue. And we run a variety of projects from them. So I thought I'd give you a little bit of update firstly as to what our projects are and what's happening. So Nick, do you mind the next slide for me, please? Thank you. So we run three main areas of project at the moment. The first one, which you might be able to see there, I'm sorry if you can't read the writing, but the first one there is the Ukrainian hub. This is the one project that we desperately wish we never had to run, because we've only had to run it in response to the war that is happening and to those who have been displaced from the Ukraine. So since that began, we've started working with TDC, so they give us money and sponsor us and the Pickwell Foundation in order to run a place of safety for those who have settled in North Devon from Ukraine. This runs every Friday, and anyone who is here from Ukraine can come, and they play pool and they drink tea and eat a surprising amount of chicken nuggets. Supposedly this is the food of choice at the moment, and just are safe, able to speak in their own language, able to seek help where it's needed. So Andy, our operations manager, runs that, and just last week he spent an hour on the phone to the Universal Credit on behalf of someone trying to sort out their access to money so that they could get a phone. If any of you have ever tried to speak on the phone to Universal Credit, you'll know how difficult that particular process is and how welcome Andy's support was. Our Ukrainian hub has reduced in numbers recently, and that is a real blessing, because what has happened is that quite a lot of those who settled from Ukraine, firstly, the children have got into school. And that's amazing, because it means that they are able to access an education. If they were still in Ukraine, the only education they could access at the moment is online. And for those of you who remember our times of COVID and had any dealings with children, will recognise that that's not always the best way in which to do education. And so they're in schools, and a lot of the families who've settled here, people have started to work. And so actually, it's an amazing blessing that that has reduced in number. But for those who do still come along, it is a place of friendship and of welcome. And we will continue to run it for as long as it is needed. And we pray a lot that it's not needed. But sadly, as we all know, that war is not finished, and therefore that place of safety is definitely still needed for those who have settled here. And so secondly, we run Unity. Unity is our social disability group that runs on a Wednesday, again at our hall in Biddeford. I think that top picture there, Dan, that's one of our workers, Dan, with the two lads who come along. And actually, that picture just shows exactly what the heart of Unity is, which is fun and friendship, and a place for people to be, to have fun, to do some craft, to play some games, but mostly just to feel incredibly safe in the environment that is created there. We've seen a huge increase in terms of the numbers since the last time I was here with you. So last time I was here with you, we were probably seeing about 20 come along every week for Unity. Now we're up to about 40. So it has grown dramatically. It's meant that we've been able to put in another staff member. So Dan and Lucy run Unity, and Brooke, who is a new member of staff for us, goes along and helps as well, just to offer a welcome to those who come along. And this month we have the absolute joy of doing our Unity celebration. So we'll be down at the Pier House having a great time, definitely dancing, eating way too many chips, and enjoying our time together there. It's a really special time. And Unity is the members when I go there. So I go to Unity as much as I possibly can. And whenever I do, the members always tell me that what's most important to them is that they're accepted and that they're loved. And that they get to be themselves. There's no pressure put on them to be anything other than who they are. And finally, we run a number of different education projects. So I've just put it under the title of education. And this week, you will have to forgive the fact that it's only me here today. This week, our college, so our post-16 education, which we run up at our barn, has been on high alert for Ofsted. And if any of you know of any teachers or were yourself a teacher, you might remember what that particular time feels like. So we are subcontracted by Petrock in Barnstable to deliver education to up to 25 learners a year. One reason or another cannot access Barnstable main site. So all of our learners are Petrock students, but they all have social emotional mental health, which is put together as SEMH, which means that it might be that Barnstable is too big, it might be that there's too many smells, it might be that it's too loud, it might just be that they're not ready to go there, and instead they come to us and we educate them in a barn which does smell, but there's lots of open space for you to get away from it, so it's fine. And we offer a slightly different form of education for them, where they can still work toward their qualifications but don't have the same kind of pressures and expectations to conform as they might do at Petrock. So Petrock had their Ofsted last week, and we were informed that we would have an inspector come out and see us to see what we did, and they didn't come. But it was a very stressful week for us all nonetheless. And we also offer some work with pre-16s as well. You'll see there a picture of canoeing. That was actually our motor mechanics at the end of the year. They've come to us for a year to do motor mechanics, and at the end of the year we decided to take them canoeing. No one fell in, which I was very grateful for, but one of the learners was determined to get me wet, and he managed it very well. But thankfully it was warm, and we were imbued for the day. And so we work with pre-16 learners across a number of different things. They might come to us to do some English and maths. They might come to us to do some motor mechanics or some multimedia. But mostly they come to us because for one reason or another, school isn't working for them, and we can offer them an alternative. So I introduced us by saying that we are a charity whose strapline is to give a future and a hope. And we believe wholeheartedly that that future and a hope comes from God. And yet in our day-to-day life, we probably don't mention God as much as people in other forms of ministry do. That doesn't mean that we don't believe ours is a ministry, but it means that actually we show God through our actions and through the love and support that we are able to offer. And we absolutely pray, and we absolutely put God at the centre, and we talk about God where we're able, and we point our learners and our service users to God through who we are and through what we do. And I think this is always a challenge for us as Christians, is how do our lives reflect the love of God? How do our whole lives reflect what God has done for us, and therefore what God is able to do for other people? And that's very much what we hold as central to us in Wings. But that also means that where we do have an opportunity to point people towards God, we do. So one of the young people who I work with, he's now 16. He's been with us for nearly a year, coming up to a year now, because he could not stay in school. He tried to set fire to the toilets, and so they decided that it wasn't the right place for him to be. He hasn't tried to set fire to our toilets. We're fine. But he's come to us, and he said to me the other day, we were talking, and he said, I've learnt more about myself in the last 6 months talking to you than I have done in my whole life, and it's really annoying because you seem to know me really well and I don't get why. And I just said, oh, okay, why do you think it is? And he's like, because you're always so patient. Why are you so patient? I didn't tell him about my own children and the lack of patience I sometimes have with them, but I was able to tell him where my patience comes from. And then he went to speak to our English teacher and he said, can you just tell me, Wendy, why you're always so happy? Because it's really annoying. And she was able to tell him why she's always so happy. And at the end of it, he knew that our patience and our happiness come from God. And it's given him pause for thought. And he's come back from that conversation many times and gone, yilly. And we've been able to talk to him. And three of our learners in our post-16 college last year started going to church, and we would argue that we probably didn't do much, but two of them got baptized last year, and we are so happy, so thrilled to be a tiny, tiny part of their journey toward God, and a tiny, tiny part of giving them hope and a future, because we really truly believe it comes from God, but that God can work through everything that we do and the skills and the talents that we have, and no matter how much I might have tried to fight against it, I am a teacher and I think I always will be, and I believe that that skill and that talent came from hard work but also came from God, and therefore he uses that in me to reach those who are around us, even when we don't mention God as much as we possibly would like to. But I promise you, we all live by prayer, because he hasn't set fire to the toilets. And I truly believe that's only because of the amount of prayer that's gone into the work that we've done with these young people. So I'll tell you a bit more about Wings as we go through, because I want to be able to kind of bring that into the word that I want to share with you in a little bit, but maybe we could just sing now to continue. So the song that we're singing next is Jesus Be the Center, and that whole idea that actually, even when we might not be talking about God as much as we want, even when actually we sometimes think, oh, I'm just getting on with my boring daily life, nonetheless Jesus can and should still be the center. So if you're able, please stand and we'll sing together.